You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Here's an update from a conversation we had last month. I talked to UW-Platteville professor Andrei Ivanov, who is in Poland helping his parents escape from Ukraine and the Russian invasion. He and his parents are in Wisconsin now. WPR's Jonah Blekas caught up with them and wrote a piece at WPR.org with more details about their journey out of their home country. You can find that at WPR.org/Central Time. Look for the related links section. You can also listen back there to my interview with him. Now, we here at Central Time enjoy our movies, as we know a lot of you do too. In the past, we've talked about the all-time great movie musicals, animated pictures, movie soundtracks, and more. Today, we put the spotlight on another big part of cinema, foreign language films. You might have noticed some more recognition for these movies at the Oscars in the last couple of years. Drive My Car and Minari were recent nominees for Best Picture. In 2019, Parasite became the first foreign language film to take home the Best Picture title. But there's a world of movies out there. Where do you start? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite foreign language films? If you do watch them, do you remember the first movie you saw that was in another language? Have you seen any of those recent foreign language Oscar nominees? If you avoid them, what's the biggest barrier for you? And if English isn't your first language, what was your first exposure to English language movies? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies is an associate professor of English and film studies at UW-Milwaukee. She wrote the book The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship and Modernized American Theater Architecture. Jocelyn, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here as always, Rob.
Let's start with the elevator pitch, Jocelyn, for somebody who's maybe reluctant to check out films that aren't in their native language. Let's say English for now. Make the case of what we have to gain.
Yeah, you know, there are so many ways to tell a story out there, and they really are not restricted to the way that we tend to do it in English-speaking film, whether it's American or Canadian or films made in the UK or anything like that. If you restrict yourself to just those kinds of narrative, you're missing out on the absolutely massive amount of film that's available from around the world. And right now, with all sorts of streaming accessibility, this world is available right at our fingertips. It's just a watershed moment for having access to films from all around the world. It's the perfect time to get started. And if you don't do this, well, you miss out on ways that culture is just this incredibly constantly evolving and moving thing. We might recognize national borders as things that are kind of rigid, but culture doesn't. And so it's a really great time to open yourself up to all the different ways that you can experience how stories are told from around the world.
And as I understand it, you know, Hollywood movies and other film traditions, they kind of talk to each other and influence each other and shape each other. Where can we go to see some of the things that might have influenced some of the movies we've seen and vice versa?
Yeah, this is such a wonderful example of how English language film, especially for our case, Hollywood film, has an impact on foreign language film. And then foreign language film has an impact on what happens here as well. So one of the great examples we can think about is the French New Wave in the 1950s and 60s. And we think about this as kind of like the height of intellectual filmmaking, right? Jean-Luc Godard, François Truffaut, they really transform how we understand how movies work. But this didn't come about generous, right? They didn't just like come out of nowhere developing this. They were actually deeply inspired by American filmmakers like Orson Welles or John Ford, even Charlie Chaplin, Howard Hawks, right? So if we think about somebody like Godard and his really, really famous film Breathless from 1960, which really puts the French New Wave on the map around the world, that film is deeply inspired by American film noir, right? And later he makes things like Alphaville, which is of course very influenced by science fiction, especially American science fiction. Or we can think about other films that move from language to language, something like one of the first foreign language films that I saw, Purple Noon from 1960, which is directed by René Clément. That was made in French as well as Italian and English, but it was based on Patricia Highsmith's novel, The Talented Mr. Ripley, which was written in English. And then, of course, that novel is then remade into another movie in 1999 called The Talented Mr. Ripley that is made in English. So we can see that there's always this kind of like back and forth conversation. And it's really a wonderful way to understand how these stories transform via different directors and different filmmakers in different parts of the world.
We are talking to UW-Milwaukee film professor Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies. She is begging and pleading with us to check out some foreign language movies. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like to watch foreign language films? You can name names if you have favorites. Do you want some suggestions? You like this, so what might you like? Jocelyn might well have an answer for you. Are the subtitles an obstacle? They are for a lot of people. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Jocelyn, the subtitles are a hurdle. It seems like an extra work sometimes. Some people in my household, I won't name names, so they sometimes watch phones while they're watching films on the TV. I don't know. How do we overcome that subtitle hesitation if we have that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wish I could solve the scourge of people looking at their phones while they're watching movies, but that's beyond the foreign language problem, right? But I understand this, and I actually get it from my students too, many of whom have never seen a foreign language film before they come into a film studies classroom. And I think there's a lot more of anxiety around subtitles than there really, really needs to be. The number one thing that I always tell my students and that I would tell anybody who's feeling a little bit reluctant to dive in is just not to stress it so much. You know, a good filmmaker is going to provide you with so many visual and oral cues for what's happening that extend beyond what the characters are seeing. It's really important for us to remember that film is not literature. The words matter, the script matters, but it is definitely not the only thing going on. So if you miss something, that's okay, because you're going to get most of it in context. And I'll give you a little example, because Parasite, you know, just really burst onto the scene and really transformed, I think, a lot of American spectators' relationship with foreign films. There's that wonderful moment where the Kim family, who are the kind of protagonists of the film, where they're leaving the rich family's house in the middle of a rainstorm. And we watch them move from this gorgeous, spectacular, wealthy, you know, exquisite house that's kind of like at the top of this hill, literally down into the urban depths. We follow them over the course of several minutes during this rainstorm as they move into like increasingly dirtier and more cramped urban situations until finally they're at their very dingy basement apartment that's flooded. Very little is said in that sequence, but we learn everything we need to know about the family's class and position just from watching them move through the city. And that's what a good filmmaker will give you. You don't have to stress so much about trying to catch everything. You're going to understand it from the entirety of the context.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Lori is with us in Madison. Lori, hi.
Hi. In the 70s, I saw a film called La Cage aux Folles, and it was subtitled. And later it was made into a blockbuster hit with Robin Williams called The Birdcage. And I really think that there was a lot lost in the translation from the French to the English version.
Lori, thanks a lot for that call. I think I seem to recall the original of that was actually fairly successful, as foreign language films go, in the U.S., Jocelyn.
It was. And I think that's an example of how certain genres can make foreign language films really appealing too, right? Because that relies very, very much on the musical, right? That is a musical and there's a lot of music in it. And music is also something that expresses emotion past what the words are saying. So it's a great example of how a film that might be shot in a foreign language can provide additional information beyond the verbal to give us insight into what's actually happening in the story.
Thanks for the call, Lori. We're talking to Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies, UW-Milwaukee film studies professor, about foreign language movies, where to start, why it's worth it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you seek out foreign language movies? Is it an area you still want to explore? Do you have a favorite, a country of origin for movies made outside of the United States? Name names, recommend movies, 800-642-1234, or ask for suggestions, 800-642-1234. We'll get some suggestions coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about international films and movies and languages other than English with Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies, Associate Professor of Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee. You can join in with a movie to recommend, a question. If you need a recommendation, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Jocelyn, want to get into some of your recommendations. Now, you had one, a Japanese director named Kurosawa. And I'm like, oh, I heard him. Nope, not that one. Kiyoshi Kurosawa. Tell us a bit about his movies and why they might be a good starting point.
Absolutely. I mean, you can watch Akira Kurosawa. He's perfectly good, too. But Kiyoshi Kurosawa is one of my favorite filmmakers. And the reason I wanted to talk about him a little bit is kind of relevant in terms of what our caller just talked about, which is that he is a fabulous genre filmmaker. So there's two films that I'd point to in terms of ways to get your feet wet with foreign language films. The first one is his film Pulse from 2001, and this is a horror movie, but it's a movie about ghosts on the internet. And so it's really, really prescient because it contains all these anxieties, these kind of like millennial anxieties around what the internet means and how we might lose ourselves and all become kind of like spirits or ghosts moving through the internet. It's so prescient. It's really, really scary. And it's a wonderful example of the absolutely fantastic ghost movies that have been coming out of Japan for decades. I mean, if you're a horror fan and you're not watching Japanese cinema, you're totally missing out. But he's also really good at melodrama. And in 2008, he makes this absolutely gorgeous family drama called Tokyo Sonata, which is about a family, a pretty average upper middle class family in Tokyo, where the father loses his job during the recession, but he pretends to keep going to work, and all of these kinds of rippling effects that this has on his entire family. And it's a real weepy movie. It is absolutely gorgeous. And you could hold it up next to any exquisite family drama coming out of Hollywood.
Let's go back to our callers now. Mark is with us in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. So one of the foreign language film I just recently watched in the past 6 months or so was a film called White Tiger. It's a Russian World War II movie, and the general concept is there is a white German tiger tank that will suddenly appear on the battlefield as almost like a ghost. It comes in, slaughters the other side, and then disappears. And at the end, there's this duel between a Russian and this German tank. And yes, it did have subtitles, but you know, after a while, you get used to those. And I would highly recommend that one.
Thanks a lot for that call. That's a great moment when I have watched movies with subtitles where it hits me. I forgot I was watching subtitles, Jocelyn.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you're really, you've like hit the kind of flow state, right? It's like everything is working in conjunction with everything else in a really, really beautiful way. That's part of why I encourage people who are a little anxious about this, just not to stress it so much, because you will get to that point. You definitely will get to that point.
Mark, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. White Tiger. Jerry joins us now in La Crosse. Jerry, hi.
Yeah. Hi, thanks. I just love foreign movies. It's almost all I ever watch nowadays. I'm sort of tired of all the explosions and, you know, shootings and all that sort of thing. But I wish I could think of more. I've got hundreds of them that I love. But one I can think of right now is, I think I'm not here anymore. I am not here anymore. It's about a sort of a cult of music fans from Mexico. I don't know if, I hope I have that name right.
I'd look it up. I'm no longer here. Could that be it?
That's it. I'm no longer here.
Excellent. Jerry, thanks. That's I'm no longer here from Mexico. Any Spanish language movies? They'd probably have a decent audience, Jocelyn, without subtitles in the U.S. Anything from Mexico or beyond you'd point us toward?
Oh, wow. I mean, so, so much. One of the greatest living filmmakers right now is, of course, Pedro Almodovar, the wonderful Spanish director who's had just a many decades. I mean, almost a 50-year career so far. He's been working for so long. So one of the films of his that I really, really, really love is All About My Mother or Talk to Her. They're just gorgeous films that one of the things that's so wonderful about them is that he has really fabulous leading lady protagonists. He's a male director who absolutely loves his female stars. And that's how people like Penelope Cruz, Javier Bardem, you know, all these amazing actors get their start working with Almodovar.
Thanks a lot for that call. David joins us next in Phillips. David, hi.
Hey, hi. There's one in a sequel. In French, it's La Source, or The Source, and its follow-up movie called Manon of the Strings. This is a series of movies that is an amazing family saga and has many nuances and depth to it. I think many people will enjoy it.
Any big names in that one, David?
Yeah, Gérard Depardieu, a young Gérard Depardieu, and a French actress, I can't remember her name, very famous actress. People will know when they see it.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, David. Yeah, French movies. They've made a movie or two, Jocelyn.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such thing as the tradition of French cinema. One of the things that I'd love to point out with French cinema, and this is honestly, Rob, this is one of my favorite things to tell people about foreign films, is that, you know, we think of them as like the height of urbane sophistication, right? The French, they're so much better than we are. They eat all that butter and they don't gain weight, right? But when French films really hit the mainstream in the second wave of cinephilia in the 50s and 60s, they're not just promoted as something that a very intellectual audience would go to. They're also promoted because they have a lot more nudity in them than American films did at the time. So somebody like Roger Vadim makes the film And God Created Woman in 1956, which is famous for really kickstarting Brigitte Bardot's career. And I'm sure all I have to say is Brigitte Bardot, and you understand what a very, very sexy movie this is. And this was promoted not just as something that you would go see because it's a classy French movie, but actually because you'd see quite frank eroticism in it in a way that you would not see American movies at the time. So even though we think of foreign language films as something that like, oh, we go see that if we want to think that we're really, really intellectual audiences, they're also something that have often been marketed as something quite lascivious and risk-taking as well.
Thanks for that call, David. We're talking about foreign language movies with Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies from UW-Milwaukee. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Maquonago. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What do you got for us, Tom?
My absolute favorite foreign film is a film called Babette's Feast. It was made, gosh, I want to say it was made in the 70s or 80s. It's a Danish film, all subtitled, but very international cast in it. You know, has people that come in for an opera singer that sings in Paris, and then a whole bunch of different things. And it's about a chef that escapes the revolution and ends up in Jutland. So it's just a wonderful film.
Tom, thanks. That was a pretty big name. I haven't seen it myself, Jocelyn, but I remember that getting a lot of hullabaloo.
Yeah, that was a really, really popular film. And I actually love that example. It's a beautiful film, but it's a great example of how we can use our other senses to get into a foreign language film. Because, of course, that culminates in this incredible sequence of cooking and eating, right? So it really is something that's trying to evoke the sensory pleasures and experiences of good food, good wine, and company. And those are not dependent upon understanding the same language. So I think that's a really wonderful example of how a foreign language film can appeal to all manner of our senses and not just the way that we speak.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Something that's nagging at me, Jocelyn, one of our callers earlier said he got into foreign films to get away from the shooting and explosions in American movies. My most sustained watching of foreign films was back in the day with my buddies. We'd watch the Hong Kong shoot 'em up genre, the John Woo and other directors. Lots of shooting and explosions in them. Like, we could find that stuff in foreign language films too, right?
Oh my gosh, of course. I mean, John Woo is a wonderful example, or Beat Takeshi, right, who makes these wonderful gangster Japanese movies as well. Not quite as acrobatic as the amazing fight choreography that we get in John Woo, but Beat Takeshi, his films are just full of, you know, a lot of violence, definitely a lot of violence, but they're also these kind of searching movies about like what it means to be a part of the criminal underworld. We definitely do not have the only violent images here. There's plenty to be found in foreign language films as well.
Now, before we run out of time, Jocelyn, you are hosting the first of two virtual screenings of a Ukrainian movie. Can you tell us what's going on?
Absolutely. The first screening is going to happen on Thursday of this week, and the second will be on April 25th. And this is a brand new Ukrainian film. It's a historical adventure set in the early 17th century. And it's about a group of Cossacks and this gold that they've been tasked to transport between the Ukrainian and Polish border. The film is supposed to premiere this year. Obviously, that's been put into a very tenuous situation because of the invasion and the horrible war in Ukraine, but we've gotten access to this film. So there will be a virtual premiere on Thursday and on April 25th. And it begins with a roundtable conversation that I had with the filmmaker and the executive producer who are currently in Kyiv. So it's a great opportunity to see a film that you would not have access to any other way.
We've got a link to registration for that screening up at WPR.org/Central Time. Again, WPR.org/Central Time. Our last half a minute or so, Jocelyn, name one more name that you think we ought to check out in the foreign language world.
Okay, I will say We Are the Best, which is Lukas Moodysson's film from 2013. He's a Swedish director known for all sorts of genres, but this is an absolute delight of a film that is a comedy about teen girls, young teen girls who start their own punk band because they're very, very angry at their very normal suburban life. And it is a delight from start to finish.
Jocelyn, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thank you so much. I love being on.
Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies is an associate professor of English and film studies at UW-Milwaukee. She joined us today for a look at how to get into movies from other countries and other languages and maybe why we should. Hey, there's still time for you to share your recommendations for everyone else. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page.